So have you ever heard about anything that was exciting, something exciting that happened that you found out that you missed? Like you were close by, maybe you could have participated in it had you known about it, or had you been paying attention to something. I know sometimes I forget that. How many of you heard about the Bethlehem Star this last couple weeks? They were talking about it. Evidently, a couple weeks ago, on December 21st, Jupiter and Saturn aligned in the sky. They merged together and by our sight appeared as one bright light that was reminiscent of the Bethlehem Star that pointed to where Jesus was in the stable. Now, the last time this happened was somewhere around 800 years ago, 700 or 800 years ago. And I heard about it happening early on in December. I knew it was coming. And it was only going to be seen that way in the sky for a short period of time. And I thought that'd be kind of cool to, you know, to see. And of course, I totally forgot and I totally missed it. And that was one of those things that I kind of would have liked to see and could have had I remembered to go outside and look up. Well, that makes me feel better. But well, last week during my sermon, I said that I almost just preached again, but during my sermon, I said the statement that I wanted to see revival here, okay? And the response from many of you was agreement. Yes, we want revival here. Now, the definition of revival is an awakening of religious fervor, okay? It's not just a knowledge of religion. It's an awakening of the Spirit of God in the world. It's awakening. It's where the Holy Spirit is given room to spark a movement in the hearts of God's people in such a way that it spreads to unbelievers as well. So revival means that our spirit and God's spirit is being revived in us, okay? Revival. The Spirit of God in us. Is there something I can do to help this? No? Okay. Just make sure I'm doing this right. The Spirit of God in us is building, and there's an outpouring of that same Spirit around us. We want to see revival, okay? Now, many people have been prophesying a coming revival, and we are beginning to see the signs of it around the world. The Spirit of God is moving, and it's not something that we want to miss. In fact, my heart is that this church and each of you would allow God to move in such a way that we would be right in the center of all that God wants to do in this area. That is my heart. This community has an opportunity for an awakening of religious fervor, an awakening to the Spirit of God. That's something that we can get excited about. We look around and we can see there is a huge need for it, okay? It's huge. Now, after the service last week, I was thinking about this, and over the next 24 hours or so, the Lord asked me these two questions. I'm probably going to need some tissues. So if somebody could grab me some tissues, I would appreciate it. The first was, do you understand what brings revival to your community? Thank you. Thank you. And the second is, are you willing to do what it takes? Okay, now for me, and I think most of you, the answer to those questions, you would say, absolutely. I want to do it. I want to see it. I want to be a part of it. If I know that the outcome is going to be God's revival, I always want to be able to say, yes, absolutely. Okay. But the reality of that question began to unfold. And so I took it back to the Lord and started processing this with him. How have revivals come in the past? What does it take to bring revival to this community? And what brings that awakening fire? And how can we make sure that we don't miss it? Okay? So I spent some time looking up revivals in history. Seems like a logical place to start. Find out how they start, right? There was a few that stuck out to me that I want to talk about this morning. The first was the Welsh Revival. It began in 1904, and it lasted about a year. And during that time, 100,000 people came to know the Lord. 100,000 people. There was a young man. He was 26 years old. His name was Evan Roberts, and he was one of the leaders in this revival. And this is what he said. "For 13 years, I have prayed for the Spirit. And then I said to myself, I will have the Spirit. And through all weather and in spite of all difficulties, I went to the meetings. Many times on seeing other boys," okay, now you have to understand, at the beginning of this, he's 26 years old when he's saying this. At the beginning of this, we're talking about a 13-year-old, okay? "Many times on seeing other boys with the boats on the tide, I was tempted to turn back and join them, but no, I said to myself, remember your resolve to be faithful. And on I went." He goes on to tell of all the meetings he attended without fail. Every single day of the week had a point at which he was at a class or a meeting of some sort and praying for the Spirit. He went after the Spirit. This article said that I read that he prayed for 13 years and 12 of them he spent praying for revival. Every day he committed his life to the inner room of prayer from the ages of 14 to the ages of 26 to pray for revival. The second I looked into was the Azusa Street Revival in 1906. It happened about a year, I guess, after the Welsh Revival. A man named William Seymour was one of seven men that were waiting on God, and it said, "When suddenly, as though hit by a bolt of lightning, they were knocked from their chairs onto the floor." Now, this revival is known for the spiritual experiences in worship and included testimonies of physical healing miracles, speaking in tongues, and this revival lasted for 3 years and was the catalyst for Pentecostalism in the 20th century. And then there is the book of Acts, chapter 2. The beginning of that revival started the same way, strangely enough. Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house while they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. How do you feel about revival now? In every single case of revival, it begins with one thing: people devoting themselves to prayer. You want revival? James chapter 4, verse 2, the second half of it says this: "You do not have because you do not ask." How much time do you spend praying for revival? For the Spirit of God to move among us and awaken us to His Spirit. How much time do you spend doing that? We come to this place on Sunday to be inspired by the Holy Spirit, to meet Him here. We agree with the statement, we want revival, but do we know the cost and are we willing to pay it? Banning Liebscher is a pastor at Jesus Culture Church in Sacramento. And a few years ago, he was speaking on answering the call to prayer. He told a story of his six-year-old son, and he was teaching his son how to play Yahtzee. And as he was teaching him the rules, his son was really excited to get playing. Okay, so he, at every turn, you have to say kind of what you're going for. And every turn, he would say, Yahtzee, and he would roll the dice. And they were like, well, actually, you know, that's a really hard one to get. Like, maybe you should work on these other things. And he's like, okay, yeah. Yahtzee. Every single time, he just yelled Yahtzee. He wanted that Yahtzee. And no matter how many times Banning and his wife tried to explain to the son, there's a strategy of the game. There's things that you can do. He boldly shouted Yahtzee, and of course, he never won. And that looks like our prayer life sometimes. We say we want revival, so we hear someone say, we want revival, and wholeheartedly agree, yes, Lord, we want revival. And then we go home and we leave it at that. And then the next time someone says we want revival, it reminds us, oh, yes, yes, that's what I want. I want revival. Yes. We want it, but it's almost like we just want it to happen. We don't know what it would even look like or necessarily want to give the effort to make sure that it's here. We don't know what our part would be in it. There is a story unfolding on this earth and in this country, and God is saying right now that although what we see all around us isn't good, and in fact, it seems that evil has the upper hand, he's about to turn the tables on the enemy, and he says, we have a part to play in that. Our fear-driven nation right now requires that we commit our lives to a life in the secret place, where we will receive an anointing from God and direction from God. You want to know how a revival starts? Every single revival that I found begins with God's people. One person, sometimes even, committed to a prayerful position in the secret place of prayer. Every single one. You want to know how to change this nation? The one that you're a part of? Banning Liebscher puts it this way, take your life and plant it in the inner room of prayer. It's not going to come any other way. And if you're not committed to making sure that it happens in you, you could miss it completely or be one of the ones who just hear about it, but don't get to be a part of it. You're just on the outskirts of it, looking in. Revival begins with an awakening in God's people first. We can't push that off on anybody else. It begins with God's people first. That's you. That's me. We can't miss it. We can't just roll the dice and yell, revival, and then go about our lives. We have to be strategic. What is it that you want to go for? Is it revival? Then it better show up in your life today. It better show up in your life today. It better show up in your life tomorrow. It better put some traction on the carpet in your prayer room. It's where you meet him. It's where you seek him. It is the most strategic thing you can do to be with him. When you dedicate yourself to the inner room of prayer, your eyes are opened to the plan that God has. And you begin to see what part he has for you to play in it. We have to have clarity in our mission. You've probably heard me say it before, but I want to know what my part is. What is my part? What am I to do? And everything that God has for me to be a part of, I want that clarity. I don't want to waste time wandering around doing things that don't matter. That clarity comes in the secret place. And I want to spend my time for that revival to happen here. Yes, it is time that you have to spend. But I would say if it doesn't cost you anything, it's not going to get you very far. You can pretty much apply that statement to a lot of things in our life. If you ever buy a, $100 car, it's probably not going to be the one you take across country. If it doesn't cost you anything, it's probably not going to get you very far. And the same is true about this. Author Andrew Murray says this in his book, the prayer life. Above all, it will require a surrender to a life of self-sacrifice that God really desires. And Jesus said it this way. And Jesus said to his disciples, this is Matthew 16:24. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Dedication is not about finding time for God. It's not about finding time for God. It's about making time for God. You only have 24 hours in every day. In Discover Ministry School, I learned that you can see priorities in a person's life by looking at their calendar or their schedule. If you don't have something on your calendar or your schedule, then it's probably not a priority for you. And that might step on some toes. I know when I first started thinking about that, it stepped on my toes. And actually, every time I think about it, because I have to constantly go back and look at my schedule, look at my calendar. What's important to me? And does it show up there? But you decide what you have to do and what you can do and what you will do with the 24 hours that God has given you. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, this particular scripture is specifically talking about that in the context of giving offerings, but this also applies in every area that we give to, including the area of prayer and revival. If you're not willing to spend your life in the secret place of prayer, you will be the one that is on the outside looking in, wishing that you could be more involved. And my desire is that today, my desire for this morning is that today a fire would grow inside of you, that the Spirit of God would fan into flame the desire to be in the secret place, to want to be in that inner room. I came to a place in my life in my early 20s where I was really struggling. And things were happening that I had no control over. And I needed God to do a miracle. And I didn't see how that was going to happen. And I happened to be at, I don't know, many of you may remember Jesus Northwest, the music festival that was up in Washington. And I was there one day during this time. And I heard a speaker that challenged me and everyone there to pray for 10 minutes a day. And you guys may have heard parts of this before. Challenged us to pray for 10 minutes a day. Just 10 minutes. And I was so inspired. My hand shot up. You ever have one of those speakers that you're like, I'm going to buy everything that they ever wrote and everything that they ever did. I want to know all about it. And at that time, I was like, I could do 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes a day. And I needed it at that point. Well, I came home and started with my 10 minutes a day. And pretty soon what I found was that my 10 minutes turned into 30 minutes. And then my 30 minutes turned into an hour. And pretty soon I found that I was going to bed early because I wanted to spend more time with God before falling asleep. And two things happened during this time of prayer. Number one, I had peace. I had crazy peace. Like it didn't make any sense. I had felt before that like my whole world was falling apart and nothing had changed except for that time. And I had peace. And second, after 6 weeks of daily doing this, he did a miracle in my life. And he changed the situation and he changed people's hearts to fix this. I had dedicated my life for those 6 weeks to the inner place of prayer where my relationship with God could flourish and he could work miracles in my life. And he gets the glory for that. While I was doing this sermon this week, I had to repent because I had gotten away from that dedication. Now, since then, I got married, had four kids, I've done a few things in the last 20 years. And I've never walked away from the Lord during that time, and I pray all the time. But there's something about making a dedication to the Lord. I had made him a promise. I will give you 10 minutes of dedicated, like, this is my time to be with the Lord. And in recent years, even though it has fluctuated throughout the years, in recent years it's become much more of a habit for me. But this week, God brought me back again to that place of excitement for the secret place. I have to be there. I have to be there every day. And not just to read the word and do my part and go throughout my day, but to really be with the Lord. It comes at a cost. For me, I'm not a morning person. And I have to get up early to make it happen because everything else just yells at me if I don't. And that's a cost that I have to be willing to pay if I'm going to dedicate myself to a place of prayer. I get to talk about what's on my heart. I get to dedicate my words and my mind and my heart in prayer for revival here. And now I want it so bad. I want it so bad I can taste it. And it's so good. Now, maybe you're here today and this is completely foreign to you. Maybe you don't know what it means to be in this kind of a relationship with the Lord. Maybe you don't know what it means to pray for anything, for any amount of time, other than just, you know, say grace over the meal. Well, I want to say two things about that. The first one is, there's a revival coming. And you have an opportunity this morning to know Jesus as your personal Savior. There is no one in history who brought more hope and peace into this world than that little baby that we celebrated a couple weeks ago. He saw a way to make us right before God, and he gave up his life to take on your sin, and he paid the price by dying on the cross. And there is nothing that you have done that he doesn't know about, and there is nothing that you have done that is beyond his forgiveness. The revival that we're talking about today, that I'm talking about this morning, is all about him. It's all about him. And he wants you to rely on him. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to hear your concerns. He wants to hear your doubts and your frustrations. And he wants you to partner with him in praying in this revival. When you acknowledge him as your Savior and ask him to come to live in your heart, he forgives you. And he will walk with you through this life, and you have a place in heaven to live forever. It's that easy. Because you are so loved, and you are accepted by him. And he died, and he rose again to prove his perfect love that he would offer you today. The second thing that I want to introduce to you today is prayer. So that you can do your part. That all of us together, yes, but also you personally. When you're walking with the Lord, it's a personal relationship. If you don't know how to pray, I'm going to give you a starting place. Remember that speaker that I told you about that I went up and listened to on prayer? Her name is Becky Tirabassi. She pastors a church in Southern California, and she gave me kind of a formula for prayer that I use every day. And it's called, if I can get the PowerPoint to work, PART, doing my part. We start with P. P is for praise. So when you're spending time with the Lord, it's a little daunting sometimes to think about, oh, I'm going to take an hour and pray. And then after 5 minutes, you're like, yeah, I got nothing. Yeah. Did you have something? Or are you just raising your hand because you're excited? Okay. So it's a little daunting to think about an hour of prayer. Like that's just, so this is something that I use that kind of helps me stay on task and do that, okay? So the P is for praise. You praise him for who he is. If you don't know how to do that or you run out of things to say about that, go to the Psalms. Go read Psalms. Write them down. Now, the way that we did this, the practical way that we did this was she had a notebook and we wrote it all out. So I would write a P and then I would, you know, write out the psalm. If I didn't have anything else that day, having a hard time, whatever, I would go to a psalm, praise him, pray through a psalm. Psalms is all about praise. After P is A, which is admit. Now, when you do this on a daily basis, it's really an awesome thing because when you're admitting something, you're thinking back over your day. How did I respond to things yesterday? How did I do over the last 24 hours? Like, what does my life look like right now? So you're admit. Only you know what keeps you from God. You're the only one that knows that. So you just admit it. Like, Lord, I'm sorry. I did this. I admit it. And then R is for request. Now, this is the one that we frequently will spend time on. It's because we're asking, you know, a lot of times when we're in trouble, we're like, hey, God, save me. You know, that's the one that we tend to spend all of our time on. But I want to add to this and say that this is where revival should show up in your prayers. This is the place. Pray for revival. Pray for revival in you first and then those around you. Okay. And then the last one, you end your prayer time with a time of thanksgiving. Thank God for who he is, for what he's doing, for what he's going to do, for what he's spoken to you. Thank him. Spend your time in thanksgiving. This is something, now if you have your own formula, this is not a formula for revival. This is a practical tool to use to get into that place, okay? This is something we can't miss. We can't ignore it, and we have to do it, okay? It's something we have to do. And I know people don't like it when you say, hey, you have to do this, and I love you, but you have to do this, okay? This world needs you to do this. Your family needs you to do this. Pray for an awakening. Pray for the spark. I want to give us a time, an opportunity to do this morning. I want to leave this here up on the screen, and I want to just take a few minutes. I'm going to go back to the piano. Go ahead, Tiffany. Yeah, come up.
When she says we have to do our part for our family and our nation, that's the cost, you guys. That's what happens if we don't do it. People cry, and there is not happiness for them. There is not joy for them. There is not peace for them. There is not the place with no tears for them. There is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The word of God, all of the That should be the fire. That should be the fire in your belly that drives you to your knees, that drives us to prayer. Those that we love who don't know him, who do not know the love of the Lord. That is the fire. That is the beginning. So when you go to that place of prayer and find that you are tired of praying, or that maybe there are other things on your mind today, think about the person that you know and love who does not know the Lord and the desperate situation that they are in, and pray for them.
There's the two parts. There's the part that it's part of our calling, okay, as sons and daughters of God, to partner with him, to bring his spirit to the people around us, to bring his spirit to, now, can God just step in and blow everyone away? Sure. But we get to partner with him. We get to bring him with us wherever we go. Those people that Tiffany's talking about, they get to see Jesus in us. It will change you. A life dedicated to the inner room, to the secret place of prayer, will change you. Okay? And that's a cost too. Are you willing to give up the blech? I can't think of a better word than that. Blech. Of just waiting through this life like walking through molasses. Okay? Are you willing to give that up? We talked last week about throw off everything that hinders you. Can you let go of those things so that you can see people healed? So that you can see people come to know God? So that you can see people be free? Be free. It's worth the cost. It is worth the cost. So I want to give you some time this morning, and we're just going to take 2 or 3 minutes because a response is required. A response is required. God is calling us to partner with him in prayer for revival. What would you give the Lord today? Time with God changes us. It brings resolve, it brings results, and it brings revival. And it's time for us to be trailblazers for prayer, trailblazers for revival in our homes, in our organizations that we work for, your workplace, your city, and this nation. And we can be right in the middle of all that God wants to do. So I'm going to go to the piano for just about 2 or 3 minutes, and I'm going to play through a song, and I'm going to give you time to pray, okay? I'm just going to give you some time, and we're going to pray. I'm leaving this up here so that if you're like, I don't know what to do here. This is kind of weird, okay? That's okay. Praise him. If you got some things you need, if you got some business you need to take care of with the Lord, admit it to him. Pray for revival. Pray for the people in your life that need healing. Pray for the people in your life that need Jesus. And then spend some time in thanksgiving, just thanking him for what he's going to do.
Thank you.
We come together as one breath, one voice, one cry. Jesus, our Savior, new hope, new life, new wine. We come together with one breath, one voice, one cry. Jesus, our Savior, new hope, new life, new wine. We come together as one breath, one voice, one cry. Jesus, our Savior, new hope, new life, new wine. We come together as one breath, one voice, one cry. Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, our Savior. Find me here. Find me here in your presence. I'm not leaving the same. Let your refining fire purify me again. Let the weight of your glory bring me back to my knees. Oh God, come with revival. You can start it in me. Find me here in your presence. I'm not leaving the same. Let your refining fire purify me again. Let the weight of your glory bring me back to my knees. Oh God, come with revival. You can start it in me. Oh God, come with revival. You can start it in me. Oh God, come with revival. You can start it in me. Oh, Lord God, let that be our prayer this morning, Lord. That revival would start here in us, in this place, Lord God. Lord, I just pray this morning for those that you are moving on their hearts, Lord God, right now. That you're showing them, you're giving them a glimpse of their purpose in you. You're giving them a glimpse for what it looks like to steal away with you to the secret place, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would revive us, that you would revive us, Lord God. Let us not miss it. Let us not take it for granted, Lord God. Let us not just sit on the sidelines and wait for it. But Lord God, let's help us pursue you, Lord. Pursue you. Praise you, Lord God. I feel like there is a response that needs to happen this morning. And if you feel God is moving on your heart right now to dedicate a time, and I don't know what it is, it's going to be different for each one of you, but it's going to cost you something. And if that is you, I want you to stand to your feet right now. If God is calling you to that secret place, to know Him, to walk with Him, to be with Him, just raise your hands out like this, just all around the room. Lord God, Lord God, Lord, I pray for each one, Lord God, that is responding to you right now. Lord, that we would be passionate about our position of prayer, Lord God. That we would wear out the carpet in our prayer rooms, Lord God. That we would find a place, that we would make a place, and we would make a time, Lord God. That we would be diligent, that we would not forget. Lord, that we would be like these people of old, Lord God, who dedicated hours, that dedicated years, Lord God, to seek you, to first seek your spirit, and then to seek revival, Lord God. Lord, put us on the front lines. Do what you want, Lord God, in this place. I pray, Lord God, that you would remind each one, just like you did Evan, Lord God, way back in the day, Lord, when he would want to go and play with his friends, Lord God, that you would remind them that they want to be faithful to it. Remind them, Lord God, that what you have coming is greater than whatever it is that their flesh wants to go and do, Lord God. That we as a body would be dedicated to a position and a place that we would answer the call, Lord God, to come and pray. That we would pray for revival, that it would break out in our lives, Lord God. And it would break out in this place, and we would see it break out, Lord God, because of our time in the secret place, Lord. That we would no more be yelling Yahtzee, but we would no more be yelling revival and then going out and forgetting all about it. But Lord, make it our mission. Make it our mission, Lord God. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing here. I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of these people, Lord God, what you're doing in my life, Lord God. And we say yes to you. We say yes to you, Lord God. We say yes to what you want us to do. We say yes to your life. We say yes to the purposes and the plans that you have for us. Lord, I just pray a blessing over every person in this room right now, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you for your spirit today. Thank you, Lord God, that we are changed, Lord. Thank you that you are the one who does the work in us. And so, Lord, start here. Start with us. Start in each life individually. And Lord, I pray if there are any needs in this place today, Lord God, that as we come and seek you, Lord, we do it right now, Lord God. We come to seek you on behalf of those things that are needed. And Lord, I just pray your blessing. I pray your provision. I pray your life and your breath into the life of these people, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that we get to gather together. Lord, help us to give you all the glory and all the praise. And Lord, keep us diligent. Keep us on task, Lord God. Show us our purpose. Show us what you want to do. And we thank you for that. Lord, get us excited about your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm really excited about what God's going to do. It's coming, you guys. It's coming. And I would say it's here. but if you have a need this morning, like I just felt like there were some people here that they have some needs here today, would you find somebody to pray with you? Come talk to me or go talk to somebody and get prayer for those specific things. We want to be a place of prayer. And with that, I would also say that in 2021, we are going to be diligent about our prayer times on Friday mornings at 9 o'clock, from 9 to about 10:30. We are here praying. Please come and join us. We would love to have you guys come and join us for that prayer time. And then also, once a month, we're going to be doing a prayer and worship night. And so that will be coming in the next, and for the next 12 months, I want us to be diligent about that as well. God bless you guys. Have a good day and have a great week.